हरिः ॐ सहनाववतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यङ्करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्तिः ॐ जय श्रीकृष्ण चैतन्य प्रभु नित्यानन्द श्री अद्वैत गदाधर शिव सरि गौर भक्तवृन्द हरे कृष्ण 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 हरे 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 राम हरे हरे
Okay, so now we're at the end of Arjuna's pilgrimage. He's now come to Dwarka. Krishna came out of Dwarka to meet him rather than Arjuna coming in. Then Krishna discussed with Arjuna his idea about Arjuna marrying Subhadra. And so then, you know, he wanted to see if she had that interest and all that. So then he was invited, you know, many times in his disguises as sannyasi to Balaram's house. And that, and then before the last time he was invited, you know, just near the end of the rainy season, then Krishna talked to Subhadra if she was interested in Arjuna. And so then, because she didn't realize that was Arjuna because of Krishna's yoga maya. And so then, now that she knew, then she would make her intentions very clear. So that brings us up to here. So now Arjuna's checking. He's happy, but he doesn't know if she's interested. So now that she knows that he's interested, she'll show like that. It was almost the end of the monsoon season. Balaram invited the sannyasi to his place for a final visit. Again, Subhadra served him. By glances and smiles, she made her feelings clear to the Pandava. Arjuna's heart pounded. He could hardly eat, because before this, she just thought he was a sannyasi. And maybe he had now and again a few looks, but she didn't take it seriously. She thought, well, maybe he's, you know, who knows what he's thinking. But, she didn't connect it with herself. But then when Krishna then made the thing, then she connected it, with herself. Now she's making it clear she's reciprocating. He could hardly eat. He prayed that he would soon get a chance to take the princess as his bride. When the meal was over, Balaram gave gold and jewels to the sannyasi and sent him home. Arjuna left with his mind in turmoil. Because one may ask, well, what will the sannyasi do with gold and jewels? If he has deities, he might use it for that. He goes to the temples, he'll give it there. He'll, Brahmins, he'll give there. The whole point is this, you've given charity to a Brahmin, of Brahmin, one who's a sannyasi. So you get the maximum benefit of charity from that. And at the same time as the sannyasi, it'll have to be something in connection with something, you know, spiritual or religious. So then for himself, he's not going to use them. He can't wear them or use them like that. So then he will then see to proper places to give them to. And so being a sannyasi, and that he'll have a very good idea of where's a good place to distribute. So the grihasthas are giving to these obvious places. So these, Brahmins and these sannyasis, then they're going to give to the places that aren't as obvious, ones you don't see, places you don't go. Because the sannyasi will be traveling, so there'll be some temples, some Brahmins, somewhere else that he can give to. Arjuna left with his mind in turmoil. He had to somehow gain Subhadra's hand. During the last weeks of the rainy season, his mind remained fixed on the princess. Finally, the rains ended, and it was time for Arjuna to leave Dwarka. Right, because as a sannyasi, he's there, so he has to leave, because as a sannyasi, he's just there for the rainy season. When rainy season's over, then they have to move on. He can't just say, well, I thought I'd hang out here, then they go, what's going on? Krishna came to see him and told him that there would be a festival on Raivataka Hill, which skirted the mainland coast around Dwarka. Right, so Dwarka is an island. And then you have the bridge going in, and just when you get into the mainland there's a plains area in the Raivataka Mountain, or the hill. It's a hill. It's a big hill. So it's a nice place. So that's when they're having big programs and that, where so many people go, then they'll go there. Because in other words, if it's something that everybody in Dwarka is going to, they'll go there. And if it's smaller things, then all those will be done in Dwarka. Or if it's just to, you know, they've been, rainy season means you stay inside. And then when it's over, you want to go out. So then they'll go over to Raivataka. All of the Yadus would attend. The beautiful Subhadra would also be there. Krishna suggested that this might be the time for which Arjuna had been waiting. Arjuna's eyes lit up as Krishna, sitting next to him on the couch, explained his plan. O best of men, I do not see any way you can obtain Subhadra other than by kidnapping her from the midst of her friends and relatives. The festival will provide an opportunity for you, as the powerful heroes, the Yadu dynasty, will be at ease and not expecting trouble. Right? So they're not all there in their armor and their chariots and everything like this. So, you know, then they're not ready for all that, because that'll be back in Dwarka. The festival, So, in other words, Krishna's creating this really fun, interesting pastime, you know, because it's his sister, she's Yogamaya herself. And then Balaram himself, the Supreme Lord. So then they create these pastimes because it's something that you want to hear about, you know, it's something amazing like this. So they're saying, I don't see any other way. Because one is Balaram wants to have the marriage arrangements with Duryodhana. And Krishna doesn't. He prefers Arjuna. And so then, not that you couldn't go discuss, say she's into it, he's into it, and do this whole discussion thing. But for Kshatriyas, then, you know, the fun thing is the kidnapping, because that means then that the chivalry is there, then generally there's fighting, and then, you know, there's a whole nice Kshatriya scene. The festival was to be held in a few days, and Krishna arranged for swift messengers to ride to nearby Indraprastha. Arjuna wanted to obtain Yudhishthira's permission before snatching away Subhadra, because if you do that, then you might have trouble with the Yadavas. So then you know, you want his permission that it's all right. At the same time, as they only make if the boy is qualified and a proper match for the girl, they only make a stink because he did a kidnapping. He didn't come and ask them, you know, so he didn't present himself in a submissive fashion. He just came and took the girl. So you have to get over that pride. But once that's gotten over, then everything works out. Such an act would likely arouse the anger of the mighty Balaram and might even precipitate a fight between the Pandavas and the Yadavas. But Krishna told him not to fear. He would pacify Balaram when the time came. I will convince my irascible brother of the propriety and excellence of an alliance with your house, Partha. Need only take the maiden and make off with her with all speed. Right? Because he has to be quick. Otherwise, it's not that they don't have some weapons there, but they're not, you know, prepared for battle. When Yudhishthira's permission arrived, Arjuna prepared himself to kidnap the princess. On the day of the festival, so we see it's a few weeks left. So a few weeks before the end, Balaram called him. And then a few weeks before, so they had 2 weeks, so then, you know, they sent a quick, swift messengers, got Yudhishthira's permission, then came back. So now he's ready. Arjuna prepared himself to kidnap the princess. On the day of the festival, Subhadra came out of the city surrounded by her relatives. All the great personalities of Dwarka were present. King Ugrasena, Akrura, Gada, Sharanya, Babru, Satyaki. Yeah, so Gada and Satyaki are different. Is Gada one of Krishna's sons? Yeah, okay. But Satyaki's not. No. Uddhava and many others, and they resemble an assembly of the gods. The Gandharvas also appeared, and they played sweet celestial music as Apsaras dance. So it's happening there, because Dwarka, because Krishna's there, so even the demigods are coming down, and they're having their festivals, so then the Gandharvas come, they sing the Apsaras dance. You know, if they have it, Vidyadharas, they play the musical instruments. So between them, then, you know, you have a party. Dwarka citizens came out on their golden chariots and on the backs of great elephants. Hovering in their aerial cars above the site, the citizen Charanas uttered auspicious Vedic hymns in praise of Krishna and Balaram, who shone in the midst of the assembly like the sun and the moon. From the sky, the gods showered celestial flowers and played their heavenly instruments. Right, so celestial flowers means they're flowers, and because they're from the heavenly planets, they'll be very, very nice. You know, the smell will be perfect. You know, the shape, that they won't wilt quickly. You know, everything will be first class about them. So if they shower flowers, you're going to know it's It was something special. As the evening approached, Arjuna came unnoticed out of the city. He had changed his dress and put on armor. His year of exile was over, and he had cut his hair and resumed his normal appearance. Right, because now with all the hair, the arm, and now they'll see it's Arjuna. But before, when his disguise, they wouldn't know. Krishna met him and gave him a chariot drawn by Shaibya and Sugriv, two of Krishna's celestial steeds. Like Krishna has four. But just two of them, they're celestial, so they can run faster than anybody else's horses. And you're only carrying Arjuna and Subhadra. So it's just it's a nice chariot for going quickly and everything like that. It's not a war chariot where it's huge and you have all the horses and everything like that. As the Yadus sported and enjoyed themselves in the fragrant woodlands on the Raivataka, Arjuna mounted his chariot. Then he saw Subhadra, surrounded by her friends and maidservants, standing near a temple of Vishnu. Right, so she had gone to the temple, and then when they come out of the temple, you know, everybody's just thinking everything's normal, and she's with all her friends and all that. They're all there. They don't see anybody around. There'll be guards on the outside, you know, so there'll be no guards for Arjuna because he's, you know, part of the scene. Without delay, Arjuna spurred the horses and rushed towards the princess. Subhadra looked up in surprise as she heard the clatter of the fast approaching chariot, because she wasn't told what's going to happen. She just knows that Arjuna's there and, you know, something will try to be arranged. So she doesn't know how it's going to be arranged. So that's the fun of Krishna's arrangement. You know, it'll be something, because you want it to be memorable, right? You know, so then Arjuna comes, he kidnaps her on the chariot. Because the whole point, we say kidnap. Kidnap means because it wasn't arranged, you know. So boy wants to marry a girl, girl wants to marry the boy. So it's just a matter that they, you know, they just make their arrangements. But it's being done in front of everybody, so that's what makes it the challenge. Because they're not doing sneaking behind the back and doing that. Others may do that. That's eloping. But here it's that, no, they you know, it's like a challenge. Holding the reins was Arjuna, with a great bow slung on his back and a sword hanging from his belt. Subhadra's heart leapt. The prince was heading straight for her, right? So he's coming in. So you might think, okay, you know, why is he driving like this or what's happening like that? But then she knows it's coming straight for her, right? In less than a minute, he had taken hold of her hand and pulled her onto the chariot. I think it would probably be a moment, you know, because, you know, unless they're going in slow motion or something, you know, you have that thing where it takes, you know, like that. Before anyone could react, he raced away to the north, back to Interprastha. Right, so she's there. He comes riding in full speed, just picks her up and then keeps riding full speed. As they realized what had happened, the Yadus became incensed. How dare anyone kidnap their princess before their eyes? Right? So this is a Kshatriya thing. Right? So you kidnap it right before our eyes. We're all sitting here, and then you dare. Who could have been so bold? Some of them said it was Arjuna from Indraprastha. The Yadu warriors ran about in all directions, trying to find their weapons and chariots. In Dwarka, the chief officer of the court stood in the central square of the city and blew his golden trumpet. It was a call to arms, right? But that's in the city, right? The bridge, so they'll all go from that place, go back over the bridge. A council of war was hastily assembled in the Yadu court. As the ministers and generals quickly took their places in the Sudharma assembly hall, Balaram spoke. His angry voice echoed around the hall. Why has Arjuna insulted us in this way? Did he not consider us worthy of a peaceful approach? Right, because it's all known that he wants to, you know, marry her to Duryodhana. So even if you approach, then unless there's a whole big scene like this, you know, and so then it's like begging or this or that, or you know, So here it's that, you know, the Kshatriyas, then this was the method because Krishna already arranged it. He has stolen Subhadra without even speaking to any of us. Surely this means war. Yeah, so you can see is that even though the girls are so protected, they're so valued that they're willing to have a war over a girl like that. So one can say is, oh, but the girls, are, you know, the restriction or this or the things like that. But it's the value. It's just like, where do you keep, you know, a 50-carat diamond, you know, just in your pocket or on the table, you know, in the drawer on your desk? No, it's kept very specially brought out, very kept very nicely and everything. So Balaram glared around the assembly with eyes reddened with fury, right? So he said this and he looks around and all the other kings, you know. The thousands of Yadu warriors present rose like so many fires blazing up when fed with oil, right? Because when you have the fire, then you put some ghee, immediately it comes up. So he said this, they've heard it, then he looks around at them, then they all, yeah, you know, like this. Bring my armor, fetch my weapons, yoke my chariot, and I shall give chase to that, to the insolent Pandava. Amidst the uproar, only Krishna remained unmoved, seated upon his beautiful jewel-encrusted throne at the head of the assembly. Right, because Balaram will be next to him. He'll be saying his piece. You know, so he'll step forward, speak to everybody, look at everybody and all that. But Krishna is just peacefully sitting there, you know, not at all disturbed and all that. Seeing this, Balaram again spoke. Right, when he saw that Krishna is this peaceful, he's not getting upset. With his pure white complexion, blue robes, and wildflower garlands, he resembled a white mountain covered with blossoms. His voice again echoed around the hall. Stop, senseless men. What are you doing while Krishna remains silent? Right, you know, why you're all agitated, you know, when Krishna's just sitting here silently, you know? Cease your roaring and let us hear what is on his mind before we act, right? Because if he's so peaceful, then there must be something going on. Because if something's really been wrong, he's come to establish Dharma, he would be upset also. So him not being upset means, you know, there's some other consideration here. His words are always our surest guide. Right, so even though Balaram's the Supreme Lord himself, it's still Krishna being the origin like that. So everybody then it goes back to. So they taste these Kshatriya pastimes, you know, as, you know, Krishna and his associates, even though they're all transcendental. Balaram looked across at his brother. Oh, Janardana, Arjuna is your friend, but it appears that he has insulted us, right? He's supposed to be the friend, now he's insulted us by snatching away my sister. Right, so he didn't say our sister at this point. You know, he's saying, you know, he said, get upset, my sister, right? You know, so that you'll see it personally. The Balaram's upset, his sister's been taken. He has placed his foot upon my head, right? Because Subhadra was staying in Balaram's palace, so he was the one taking care. How shall I bear it? I will rid the earth of the Kurus by myself today, right? So you saw before that one time. Not now. It'll be later, I think. That who is that? Samba. Yeah, then Samba, one of Krishna's sons. Then he who is that? Usha. No, that's Usha Aniruddha. Samba is. Oh, okay. Yeah. So then there's a whole scene there. So they captured him, and then Balaram came because now they had captured their boy, not their girl, and so then. They behaved badly, so then he was going to drag the Hastinapur into the Jamuna, right, you know. I will never brook an insult from them lightly. The whole assembly erupted again as Balaram spoke, right? So he's got them all enthused, and then he said, wait, Krishna's, you know, like, why are you all like this? So everyone goes silent, and then he says all this, but then he gets angry again, and then they all erupt again. So you see the taste is going on, this rasa that's there, but it's all in connection with Krishna. So that's the thing, is that spiritual world, you have all the tastes, but they're all connected with Krishna here. And so they're satisfying. Well, here, the tastes are without Krishna. So it's like the form is there, but the actual, what makes it work is not. You know, it's like taking the toaster. It's not plugged in. So you put in the piece of bread, you push the thing down. You know, after a while, then you push it back up. You can even make clicking sounds, you know, and then push it up. But, you know, nothing's happened. There'll be no satisfaction. So like that is the material world, all the different rasas, all the relationships here are operated in their mechanical sense. But they don't give satisfaction to the soul because it's not connected to Krishna. So it doesn't have that spiritual element, because the soul being spiritual needs it to be spiritual rasa. So the material external rasa won't satisfy. The whole assembly erupted again as Balaram spoke, roaring in approval. Right? So they all, you know, showing like that. Krishna only smiled. Again, he's only smiled. He doesn't think, okay, well, maybe I should rethink. As the sound died down, right? Because they all like that, and he's just smiling, so then, you know, very quickly it'll die down. He said, I do not feel that Arjuna has insulted us, right? Because that's the first point. Everything was all about he's insulted us. So his first point, because you have to say something, you have to deal with the exact thing like this. You know, you don't start, no, it's all right to this and that, because they'll say, yeah, but he's insulted us. So you just start with the insult, right? Indeed, my feelings are that he has enhanced our glory. And it's kind of like, what? You know, we go from he's insulted us to now he's enhanced our glory. Partha knows that we would not accept payment or gifts for our princess, right? So that, of course, they won't, because that's the Asura marriage. So, the cultured people won't use the Asura. So immediately he parts out, he hasn't insulted us, he's brought glory to us. Why? Because we wouldn't accept payment or gifts for our princess, so everyone's going to say no. What man on earth would sell his child to another? Nor would Krishna accept the maiden as a gift, right? Because then Kshatriyas don't accept charity, as if she were an animal. He's also putting it in context to get the point across. He has therefore selected the method always favored by powerful heroes, because so many there that are there, they probably gone to Swayambars or other things and kidnapped the girl. It's one of the Kshatriya things that you do. Kali Yuga, you don't use it. But in the other ages, you know, in the first three ages, you could use, because it would be done in a pure, proper way. Nowadays, it, you know, won't be done properly. The hall remains silent, right? Because what he said is truth. They remain silent as Krishna continued to speak. He said he considered an alliance with the Pandavas, and especially with Arjuna, as proper, right? Because their house, our house, you know, he's of great character, we're, you know, of great stature. So it's perfect. Arjuna had been born in the noble Bharata race. He was the son of the illustrious Kunti from their own house. So not only that, his mother is one of us. So you could say he's not from the outside, because technically on his mother's side, he's a Yadava. From his father's side, he's a Kuru. So he's been born in the Bharata race, you know, like this, so in that illustrious line. But technically his mother is a Yadu. So he's actually family. Technically he's their cousin, you know, like that. No man, so he says that, you know, so he's brought it down from, he hasn't insulted, he's brought glory. We wouldn't, you know, take, you know, gifts for the girl, or he wouldn't take, except by begging. And so therefore he's followed what Kshatriyas do, like that. And not only that, then the connection with them, it's a good alliance, because they'd have to agree it's a good alliance. Because it's with the Pandavas, especially Arjuna. It's not with Duryodhana and everything. So, yes, it's a great house, but within that, the Pandu side, that's where the glory is. And then he says that, you know, and he's a relative. And they're making the point that, you know, technically they have a connection. So it's not technically outside the family. And then now he gets into practical stuff. So this was all about the feelings, the insult, the dharma, and everything. So he's cleared that. So now the dharma side is part. Now he's looking practical. No man on earth was capable of vanquishing Arjuna in battle. So that's a problem. How are you going to vanquish him? Because who can vanquish? He was now proceeding on Krishna's own chariot, and it would be difficult to check. Right, so now it's he's on Krishna's chariot, so he's going so fast, and even if he did catch him, who's going to be able to beat him? Subhadra and Arjuna were a good match. You know, if you're saying you can't beat, and now he brings it back again, practical. They're a good match. You know, it's not like it's not, you know, proper in the families. Means the families he showed before, so there's no insult, and now they themselves as individuals, it's a proper match. Better they send swift messengers to bring him back in peace and arrange for a proper wedding, right? Because even if it's the kidnapping is there, whatever it is there, the Swayamvar, they still have the full proper wedding. So the girl there, the Kanyadan and all that's there, but it's already been some arrangements as they've been there as in more of a Kshatriya kind of alliance. Then you have the proper Brahma rite like that. So in other words, they're first, you could say that the preliminary match is done by, in this case, the Rakshasa. But then they'll actually have the proper Brahma rites, and not, they'll go through the full regular wedding ceremony. That would avoid the likely disgrace of being defeated by Arjuna and would enhance the alliance forged by the marriage. So they're going to, so even if they did go out and fight, if he beats them, then that will look bad. So the whole thing they're talking about there, their honor and everything. So he's saying then if you invite him back, now the honor is theirs because the connection of these two great houses. After all, there was now no question of Subhadra being accepted by another man. And then the final point is, no one else could marry her because he's already kidnapped her. So therefore, then, why are we getting grumpy? Even if they go out there and fight and bring Subhadra back, who's going to marry her? Because she's, by Rakshasa right, she's married to Arjuna. And so then you present all that. Having concluded his speech, Krishna looked around the assembly. Some of the Yadus voiced doubts, but Krishna answered them all expertly. Gradually, the mood changed. The Yadu heroes looked at one another in affirmation of Krishna's words. His points were good. Arjuna was the world's greatest warrior, and his dynasty ruled the world, so they were the emperors. His marriage to Subhadra was the arrangement of providence for the good of the Yadus. They immediately sent messengers after Arjuna. He was brought back and received with honor. The city was decked out in flags and festoons, and a great ceremony took place. Arjuna accepted Subhadra's hand before the sacred fire with the blessings of the rishis. See, that's why you can't, just a practical thing from this side. How would you have a Rakshasa marriage if it's during the rainy season? There's so much mud and everything, you wouldn't be able to get away in your chariot. Plus, they couldn't chase after you and that. It would just be this whole big kind of like wrestling match in the mud. So not very glorious. So therefore you don't have weddings in the rainy season, right? Then he remained in the city for a few more days. Finally, taking permission from Balaram and Krishna, he returned home. After a year away, Arjuna longed to see his brothers again and introduce Subhadra to them. Okay, so then we'll end there, and then we'll see when they go back, then how Draupadi will take this. And then the next chapter is on the Kandava forest. So another special pastime. Om Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Jai Srila Prabhupada ki, Jai.